Hello and welcome to the Office Dev Show, the show all about Office 365 development. Today with me, I have Vesa Juvonen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I'm really excited to actually cover today's topic. This is one of the most widely asked for things in the world of Office 365 development, especially for those coming from the SharePoint on-premises world. And so what we're going to talk about today is the patterns and practices.
Correct. So Office 365 developer patterns and practices and guidance. And let's have a look on the resources. And I'm going to do some code demos as well.
Awesome. So let's talk through a little bit of the history. How did this come about? How did we start pulling together these resources for people?
Well, this was really a kind of a grassroots effort internally in Microsoft. I used to be a consultant in MCS, and at some point we started seeing customers asking about the transitional guidance. Mm-hmm. And then we saw that many of the customer or consultants were writing code, but there was no a single resource to actually pull down the examples and start figuring out that individual patterns and models, how to do the transformation or how to develop internal in Office 365. So we kind of established this internal repository first, collecting those samples so that people were able to contribute. So you would be able to pull down and start learning how to do that stuff. Then marketing people kind of get excited on what we were doing internally, because there was a lot of value on that, and the demand was growing all the time. So then we went live in the Codeplex first, and then eventually in the GitHub with a new brand based on the marketing requirements or ask as a patterns and practices guidance.
Absolutely. And the team is big now, right? I think there's over 20 people
Something like that.
FTEs, and then obviously the massive community effort.
Massive community effort. We have a core team where we have three MVPs already involved. We're growing the core team. We want to get the community involved. This is not about Microsoft telling out to people how to do stuff. This is a community telling community how to do stuff. And that's really the fundamental thinking.
Yep.
We in Microsoft quite often, especially in here in Richmond, people don't quite understand what how customers are using Office 365 or how the customizations are even done. Maybe in theory they do, but they don't have that hands-on, let's say, experience. And that's where the community and the customer-facing work is really, really important.
Absolutely.
So we're learning from that and sharing that to the community as well.
That's wonderful. So you are actively taking community contributions as well.
Yes, that's one of the key points. And like I said, I was a Microsoft consultant for 8 years. So I've been working with the customers. Now I'm working in Office 365 engineering. But I'm still working actually with some of the customers, collecting the feedback. And then we feed that feedback and input from the customers to the PMP.
And that's why it's so valuable, because we actually have people who are live, hands-on keyboards at customer sites, living and breathing this stuff every day and moving solutions from on-premises to the cloud and making things work as the customer wants, but in the new add-in and app model world, right?
Exactly. So it's really about real-world experiences. It's not about random people sitting in Richmond, because I'm not actually sitting in Richmond except today.
Right.
But typically I'm sitting outside, or I'm sitting, well, actually in Finland, which is a long story. Let's not even start that. But actually meeting the customers and struggling or figuring out how to make those solutions, and then feeding that guidance from there, not sitting in Redmond office and coming up with the random ideas, which might be true or might not be true.
Exactly. So this is real world, packaged, ready to go, tried and true practices.
Yeah, so to be fair, I wouldn't say it's packaged. So it's not like you pull it down and deploy. But it's more about showing the patterns, showing the models, how you can actually approach the transformation. And we are absolutely growing that to the direction where we are looking into having calling that as a work process, work name is a partner pack, which would be a packaged example of how to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And then partners and customers can start expanding from that.
Excellent.
So the guidance and samples are growing all the time.
Awesome. So let's go through some of the great resources we have for folks.
Yes. So underneath the dev.office.com, we have the patterns and practices page. So you get the easiest way, at least how I always get here, is AKMS Office Dev PNB, and that's it. We have many of these marketing URLs. On the other hand, if you go dev.office.com, you can easily find the patterns and practices guidance underneath the resources. There's the patterns and practices link. And in here, it's a relatively long page. So let's see if we can scroll it down. We have an introduction of the key people involved. Some of these people are highly active, mm-hmm. visible for the community. Some of them are actually contributing through our internal programs with the customers. So you might, some of the names are not familiar for the community, but they actually work with the customers day-to-day basis mm-hmm. And then contribute back. One of the key points what we have is the Yammer Group, Office Dev BNP Yammer Group underneath Office 365 Network.
Yes.
Which is, by the way, the most active developer group in the Yammer network.
It is.
So, and it's really great to have to see the community sharing and answering the questions. We are trying to follow up on the questions as much as possible. The core team has been really active on that one as well. But it's really great to see that the community is helping on the questions as well. And this way, we have more than 3,000 members in the group already, which is huge.
That's excellent. That's huge, yeah.
And this way, when people are asking questions, they don't have to send an email to me or somebody in the team or random people. They can send that question to the Yammer group, and mm-hmm. other people can actually see the answer as well.
And the response time will be much better.
Exactly. There's 3,000 other people who yes. can actually respond as well.
Excellent.
We do have guidance on how to get how to contribute, so how to actually do a pull request in the GitHub, because this is an open source effort. We are absolutely welcoming contributions from the community.
A little tidbit about that. On GitHub, this is the most active repo under the Office Dev umbrella of projects and repos that we have on GitHub. So.
True.
Really excited to see that.
Yeah, it's been amazing, actually, the success. And it's been amazing seeing the interest of the community. And we are highly grateful of that. And then we do have a monthly releases and community calls. So you can actually download the calendar invite from the page and all of that. So other stuff in the page, we're trying to collect all the key relevant information mm-hmm. to a single location. The latest news, the individual latest samples, latest videos, and there's a lot of actually videos out there. Some of us actually learn by doing, some of us learn by reading, mm-hmm. some of us learn by watching videos. So we want to target all of those individual differences or different ways of learning. Mm-hmm. And there's guidance documentation as well, which is super excited. When we started, the BNP was kind of a, some people quoted BNP, but yes, it's a bunch of samples in GitHub. It doesn't have an official statement. But at the same time, the product group is actually plussing all of the samples what we're having. So we're actively reviewing these contributions,
excellent.
Making sure that they are aligned. Mm-hmm. We might be afterwards aligning them if there's any issues. But then all of that learnings and the samples, we are targeting them to go to the MSDN as well. So as an example, the transformation farm solutions to SharePoint Dev model, we have is in the MSDN, and we do have a dedicated node in MSDN, and it's a official terminology from Microsoft and official guidance.
Official documentation.
Microsoft. Exactly.
That's rolled into
really
the
good.
Rest of our documentation.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And that's helped on the messaging that this is not a random bunch of people just collecting samples. It's real world guidance proven by the product group.
Excellent. So. The most exciting piece. What's the most asked for, sought after piece of transformation code or pattern, if you will, that you hear most customers ask?
Especially in a transformation side. And to be fair, I need to kind of evolve the BNP guidance to another direction slightly. Or the thinking is that we're evolving that. Right now, the BNP is more about transformation, but we will grow that towards other sections as well,
okay.
like the Office 365 APIs and Office client side. Right now, the guidance is for the transformation because it's more enterprise development kind of guidance, which the customers many of them are yelling that give us the help, give
sure.
us help on the transition.
For sure.
So we're targeting on the main demand. And the number one kind of a topic is definitely in a SharePoint is the site provisioning.
Yes.
Because everything in a SharePoint site and a SharePoint online site starts from the site provisioning. I used to teach actually in the master certification program how to do schema-based development, all those XMLs and feature frameworks mm-hmm. and element XML files, which were kind of understandable after a few years when you actually started working them.
Sure.
But as a .NET developer, they were not really that adaptable. You couldn't really figure out how to do them, and we're moving away gradually from the XMLs. So what we've done within the BNP core team actually started the work already almost a year ago, which is kind of funny. But it went live on March or April. Mm-hmm. April, our new provisioning engine. And
excellent.
That's absolutely the most valuable piece of BNP guidance.
Can we see it?
Yes, yes, we can. So what I did quickly this morning, I didn't want to actually do a uber complex sample. So what we've done here is a really simple example, which is actually using a console application. The reason why it's using console application is that we really want people to easily adapt. So kind of a stepping stones thinking. Simple as possible. We do have much more complex examples in the BNB guidance as well. But to be able to understand what are we actually thinking, the console application is always a good start.
So this is the first place that someone would go if they're looking to take a custom site provisioning solution that they have at their customer or the enterprise developer themselves in-house, on-premises, inside their SharePoint, and they're looking to move that site provisioning solution into the cloud, to their SharePoint Online.
Yes, this would be, let's put it this way, this would be the sample which is showing you the easiest way to actually do the provisioning within the cloud. Using the BNB engine. There are a few other open source engines out there which are not, which are absolutely fine as well. But we're kind of moving away from the code and XML based of doing provisioning. Well, there's multiple reasons why we want to do that. And also the fact that when we are actually developing code, we can debug. So we're able to actually look around what's happening and we're able to modify the things. So let's actually do a real example on this one. So like mentioned, this is a really rough piece of code. I actually worked on this one this morning and just before we started the recording. But the idea here is that we want to provision sites. And what we have here is a template site. Let me jump to my template chain. So this is my template site underneath my Office 365 tenant. And just to show that I'm not actually fooling, so it's not a fooling around, let's actually create a one new document library to this site. And so let's go to the site contents and let's create a document library. And you can be my guest of give it a name.
Office development.
Office development. There we go. So just making sure that that document library is part of the template as well.
Okay.
So what we wanted to do within the BNB provisioning engine is that you wouldn't be dependent on XMLs. You can take an advantage of the XMLs by serializing and storing these templates. But in a real world, wouldn't it be kind of cool if the real site would be the template? And you'd be provisioning new sites based on a real template, which you can actually go and modify, so that the business users can actually go to this site, and they can define what kind of functionalities the template site is, and it would be immediately reflected to all of the new sites. Or we could be able to apply delta changes to the existing sites as well.
That's really powerful.
That's super powerful, and that's what the engine is actually providing. So let's have a look on this one in example. So here's my new site. We always want to start with the out-of-the-box theme site. Well, in the case of publishing, it's slightly something else, but typically it's a collaboration site, and you should always start with the provisioning out-of-the-box theme site so that you get all of the latest and greatest and whatever the out-of-the-box theme site is. And then the templating works in a way that we modify this site based on the business requirements before the end user arrives to the site.
Okay.
So from the code perspective, you might automate the site collection creation. And then after that, we place this templating code through the process. It could be easily done by web jobs and all of this provider-hosted application self-service models.
So you could
and
do
so
that
on.
Later if you wanted
Absolutely.
To do it. Okay.
But in this case, we wanted to keep it simple, and just to show the basic functionality, also do the timing constraints. I can't be taking Sonia's full day of Sonia's time. So what I've done here is a relatively simple console application. The key points actually on this console application is the following fellow. So as part of patterns and practices guidance, we have patterns and practices core component. And unfortunately, my zooming isn't working, so I'm going to solve on that one, which is available as a NuGet package. So if you go to the NuGet packages, you can actually find a Office Dev BNP core component. And the idea of that one is that it extends out-of-the-box CSM.
Excellent.
Out-of-the-box client-side object model, so it's providing additional capabilities so that it increases the productivity of the developers. And in this case, this is an awesome example of the productivity increase. So let's actually start executing the code. I have the template site here as a parameter, and I have my target site, which is the clean one. And it's going to start by asking my password, because I don't want to write that one down on the code.
Yes.
Relatively simple stuff. Hopefully I got it right. And let's actually step in the code step by step. I'm going to slightly zoom that bigger, so that's going to help, hopefully. So what we have is a provisioning template creation, provisioning template model. And in this case, we're just taking advantage of few helper classes, where we are actually defining that we want to extract that existing site and extract that as a serializable XML object, okay, including the branding element.
Okay.
So then we are able to use that and apply that to a new site. And what I'm doing here is that I'm essentially saying that save that template, the C template provisioning demo. We are using file system connector. We could actually save the XML and these files to Azure, Microsoft Azure as well, or a SharePoint document library.
Excellent.
And let's actually run the code. And so it's going to connect to the site. I do have a small progress delegate there, which is going to indicate us how fast it's actually extracting that existing site. So what's now going to happen is that the engine is going to go to that template site, and then it's going to figure out what is the differences between the template site compared to out-of-the-box theme site. So it's only getting us a definition difference
the
delta between the out-of-the-box theme site.
Excellent.
And it's extracting those files, extracting the differences, and after a while we'll hit that breakpoint, and I can actually show you what we have at that point. What I'm doing here is that I'm also serializing that template. So this is actually my template. So it's an object model. So it's a domain model.
Okay.
I could actually apply the template directly to the target site if needed. But in this case, just for demonstration purposes, I can save that. It's not mandatory. And quite often people get confused when we show this that you still use XML. Well, you don't have to. But if you want to serialize individual templates, you can. That's the thinking.
And so from there, what you could do, again, back to the stepping stone concept, is you could take that serialized object, right? And then effectively you could create some sort of mechanism where even the business user could pick and choose which of the customized pieces you then push out to the target site.
So you might have multiple templates in self-service site collection creation. People are able to select, is it a simple theme site, is it a organizational site? And they're all based on this XML. There's a definition for the site. Or there could be also those live sites as well. So
yes,
there could be multiple live sites as well.
Okay.
So let's have a quick look on that one. This doesn't take too long. So what happened was that it actually extracted the branding elements. And also it serialized that XML file, the file system. So let's have a look on that one. And in here, we're able to see that we have site fields, a few custom fields. We have one custom content type, general project document. We do have that Office development document library there. We do have some additional settings and also composite look defined for the site. Quite simple site, quite simple XML. It could be much complex, obviously, if it's a complex site. So now that's kind of that's an XML. But now the more interesting part is that how do we actually apply that to the target site? And when you think of it, we don't have that many lines of code here. So what we're doing is that we first of all, we load that XML. Well, technically in this console application case, it would be actually in our memory already, so we wouldn't have to do that. And then I also have the progress delegate, so I'm actually showing where we are. Which is set to the provisioning template applying information, just the technical helper projects, helper code. But what's actually also interesting is that because it's a domain object, I can modify that using code. So in this case, I'm going to slightly put it up. I'm actually adding one new list instance on top of the XML, which is now done and created using code. So you don't have to use XML. You can actually create the whole system and a whole structure and the model just using code. So,
or you can mix and match in this case.
Or you can mix and match as well. So it might be something like you have your branding is consistent across all of the sites. So let's code that one, but then use the XML to provide us differences between theme site variations, as an example.
Excellent.
And then as simple as a CTX, that's the content object, that's the web object. There's an extension method after we have that NuGet package included. We're just applying that to the target site. And now that I have that delegate object there, it's going to actually give me some additional information in the console application side. Obviously, if this would be a provider-hosted application or using web jobs or whatever, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have this kind of a UI, but right. it's just for a demonstrational purposes. And now we're able to see how the target site is getting evolved. It's creating the site security. If there's any fields, content types, those list instances mm-hmm. are getting now created, and all of that. And the final piece is then the composite looks, which, by the way, takes a slightly longer time because it actually creates CSS files dynamically. That's that's how the theming engine right. works in a SharePoint. But after a while, we can actually go here. That so was our target site.
Does yeah. it move the content as well, or just the branding piece?
So this is the only configuration. We don't yeah. want to actually go to the level of moving actual content. Technically, you can create some of the content absolutely mm-hmm. using the code. Mm-hmm. But in the BNP engine, we didn't want to actually start thinking about, we don't want to think this as a migration engine.
Right.
We want to think this as a customization and configuration engine. And this actually provides capabilities like, what if you extract a site into on-premises and target that to the cloud, or pre-production mm-hmm. To production sure. and all of that. So without the content, actually.
Got it.
Individual files you can absolutely get in using the code, mm-hmm. Like mentioned, but we don't want to, we don't want to start competing with the migration partners, absolutely. That's okay. not the thinking.
Sure. So let's see.
All done.
All done.
And crossing fingers so we don't have to do a re-recording.
I have
no
doubt.
Refreshing, working on it, looks yellow in your sites. We have that office development library
excellent.
There. We have the code base creation, we have the theming and all of that.
Excellent.
So only with few lines of code, we have a completely dynamic way of creating templates from live sites. And that's humongous,
from my
perspective.
Absolutely. Thank you. This is great.
Good.
So other than dev.office.com/PNP or aka.ms/office-dev-PNP,
yep.
right? There's also the GitHub repository.
Yes. So I'm going to actually show some of this. So we have the GitHub repository
yes.
underneath the Office GitHub, github.com/office-dev-PNP. There's a BNP guidance repository as well,
yeah.
And we start expanding that quite soon in this autumn. So this is a relatively big GitHub repo.
Mm-hmm.
We want to split that to a smaller pieces, so it's more targeted to Office 365 APIs, the SharePoint customization transforming, the core component is going to be mm-hmm. moved to an own repo. But we really want to think a repository as a tool in the BNP especially, as a set of multiple samples. So as a developer, you go to a one repository, pull that down, you mm-hmm. have a set of multiple samples which you can start investigating and learning.
Excellent.
And obviously, the kind of a really important final piece, if you're into videos, the Channel 9 section, channel9msdn.com/blog/office-dev-pnp. And in here, you can actually find additional videos. We just released a 10-module transformation guidance training. So as an example, if you go here, we have the video recording.
Mm-hmm.
We have links to lab manuals.
So we have hands-on
labs
ready to go for this.
And
excellent.
Demos and all of that. And this is really for all of the partners as well. If they want to actually build their own training materials on top of this, or if a customer do an in-house training,
mm-hmm.
they can actually pull all of this down and start teaching or learning how to do the BNP kind of way customizations. And one topic on the BNP way of doing customizations is also the fact that these are mainly for enterprise developers.
Sure.
So quite often we're getting the feedback, well, the BNP guidance quite often requires a really high permissions
mm-hmm.
When it's doing something. And like in that case, it's actually extracting stuff and deploying stuff mm-hmm. to the SharePoint site. And it requires too many permissions or too high permissions for store. And that was indeed the original thinking of BNP. It was more enterprise developer guidance. Obviously, we start now expanding to the store side as well, gradually during the autumn. It's growing nicely. We're getting more people involved and
yep.
more community people involved.
Mm-hmm.
And like mentioned, we have already 3 MVPs and part of the core team, which helps a lot. They do bring hands-on experiences from their customers as well.
This is great. This is absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for showing us this today and for being with us.
Thank
and
you.
Then hopefully when new content comes out, we can have you back on the show.
Absolutely.
To have an exclusive preview of all the new things coming out.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us for this exclusive on the PMP topics and a great demo of how to use the site provisioning engine from Patterns and Practices. And we'll see you next week for the next installment of the Getting Started series with Rich DiZarega. Thank you and happy coding.